Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of worship. Thank you for reaching out to us in your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your high calling, and thank you for all the provisions that you've made for our lives. We pray that you will continue to have the freedom to speak to us, to work in our hearts, to help us to understand how we ought to live for you, how we ought to respond to your calling. We commit this time to your hands and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 142nd message. The subtopic for today, the posture of God and truth involves our whole being and engages all our faculties. The posture of God and truth involves our whole being and engages all our faculties. In the preceding 12 messages, I've been considering with you the fundamental issue of life, that the foundational basis for our whole approach to life must be God and truth. This approach to life ensures continuing experience of God's blessings and true well-being, fruitfulness, peace and joy, under all circumstances, as well as effective participation in our working of God's purposes. The last message I mentioned, for ease of reference and communication, I will refer to the meaning and implications of this approach to life as the posture of God and truth. This approach to life is of supreme importance, as it is the basis for us to fare well at a personal level and also as a congregation in our working of church life. How can we enter into such a life is intended by God for all his children. I mentioned there are two important aspects to pay attention to. The first is understanding and spiritual insight into what is the posture of God in truth. This may seem straightforward and simple, but I do think so, that this is extremely important, and it may not be so easy for us to fully appreciate the meaning of this posture. The second is, after understanding the posture, to then align our heart with the posture, or we can say adopt the posture, and becomes a continuing posture in our lives. The posture of God in truth is a whole package consisting of various aspects and dimensions, and I've enumerated them in the last message under the heading, what constitutes the posture of God in truth. The essence of the posture can be reduced to two main points. The first is that God and truth is foundational, the primary issue, basis and motivation of life. This posture or approach to life is the basis and also ensures God's approval, blessings, well-being, growth in moral and spiritual stature, security, meaning, peace and joy, true freedom, fulfillment, the life of faith, success, fruitfulness, and effective participation in God's purposes. The second point follows from the first, that is, all other things and beings are secondary. That is, circumstances, occurrences, things, people, and the forces of darkness. They are not foundational, nor the primary basis and motivation in life, nor the primary basis and source of true well-being, growth in moral and spiritual stature, security, meaning, and so on. All these other things are subjected to and responded to within the framework of the primary commitment to God and truth. In a pictorial form that can help us to remember how we should approach life, we can say that at all times, remember to put on the spectacles of God and truth. From this position and with this pair of spectacles, we approach, we view, and we respond to all things, all situations, all people, and also the spiritual realm. Today I want to consider with you the posture of God in truth involves our whole being and engages all our faculties. our heart, mind, spirit, will, and body. It involves our heart because it involves what we are committed to, what is important and precious to us, what we long for, what we love, our moral and spiritual values, our convictions, attitude, motivation, what consumes us. It involves our mind and our frame of mind. The mind helps us to understand the meaning and implications of the posture. We need to understand the meaning of the posture and also the implications. The way we view things, the proper perspective, and how we ought to respond to God, to situations, to issues, to people, and spiritual warfare. The mind helps us in all these aspects. The renewed mind and the unceasing renewal of the mind is an important aspect of the posture. And it is a continuing process. As we continue to maintain this posture, the mind continues to be renewed. Increasing understanding of the truth and what God has revealed in the scriptures and what God desires of us in our daily life, all this involve the mind, and they help us to respond well and to work out the implications of the posture. If you want to understand the posture, how to work it out consistently, then the proper use of our mind is essential. It also involves our spirit, because there is a spiritual dimension to the posture. In fact, this is a very important aspect of the posture, the spiritual dimension. Because it requires spiritual insight into the truth, not just profession of some concepts, or our mind understands some concepts. There needs to be a spiritual insight into the reality of God, who God is, our relationship with Him, what He has revealed in the scriptures. So at the very heart of this posture is our relationship with God, and that clearly involves a spiritual dimension. God is spirit. We relate with Him. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then the way we respond to people, to situations, there's a moral as well as spiritual dimension in the appropriate response. So this is an essential aspect of the posture when we respond to various issues. The way we respond to God's call and to various issues also requires spiritual exertion and the exercise of our spirit, for example, in prayer. And we need to maintain the spirit of prayer and at times exercise our spirit significantly in prayer, especially in spiritual warfare and also in spiritual service. It's also important to nurture a healthy and discerning spirit. Our will is involved because we must voluntarily choose to commit ourselves to this approach to life. It doesn't just come upon us. We have to understand, and after understanding, we have to choose to commit ourselves to this approach. And it is voluntary. Nobody can compel us, and nobody can just give it to us. But not just exercising our will to choose to commit ourselves to this approach to life. After that, we need to continue to choose to persevere and to work out the implications of this posture and the way we respond to each situation. So the exercise of the will is a continuing thing throughout our lives as we continue to maintain and deepen this posture. So to sum up, we exercise our whole being, all our faculties, including our physical bodies, in the direction of the meaning and implications of the posture. The body is also involved because there are various things that we need to do, we need to move and so on. We will need to exercise our physical bodies accordingly. And subsequently I'll mention a little more, our physical bodies will also have a bearing on how we work out, and there's a need to have a proper understanding also of the place of the body, the proper place of the body. So to understand and to appreciate the meaning and implications of the posture, we must be receptive as well as pay attention, pay due attention with our heart, our mind, and our spirit. We cannot understand this posture merely with our minds. But yes, the mind is essential, but we must also seek to understand with our spirit and to respond with our heart. And after understanding, as we adopt the posture, commit ourselves to this approach to life and its outworking, it involves our whole being. So first, the understanding of the posture, it also requires that we pay due attention to what this means with our heart, mind, and spirit. And as we adopt the posture, and as we seek to work out, it continues to involve our whole being, our heart, our mind, our spirit and will, as well as our physical body. And at the heart of the posture is the alignment of our whole being and all our faculties with God and truth. So in the light of what I've mentioned, I now want to consider with you that it is helpful from time to time to pray over and evaluate our whole being and all our faculties in the light of God and truth in order to maintain and nurture the quality of this posture of God and truth. It's important at the beginning to have a good understanding of this posture and a definite commitment. But it doesn't stop there. We have to maintain and continue to nurture it. And in order to do that, it is helpful from time to time to pray over and evaluate our whole being in the light of the posture of God and truth. The Lord Jesus, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, which I've referred to you, he says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. He's seeking to communicate to us the love of God with our whole being. And this is something that we need to evaluate from time to time. The Lord Jesus also tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So we need to exercise our spirit and also in line with truth. In Romans chapter 6, verses 11 to 13, the Lord Jesus, or rather the Apostle Paul, tells us, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So it's a response of a total person. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. In verse 12, he goes on to say, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on, verse 13, presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin. The word body there is in italics. Or presenting your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But we are to present ourselves, the whole person, present ourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. That is ourselves and our whole being, our faculties, all our faculties. The same idea comes through in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul, after 11 chapters where he wrote about God's salvation plan in Christ Jesus, that in spite of our sins, God continues to reach out to us, providing for us the way back to himself, and not only that, that God wants us to live a life of richness, the life of in the Spirit, especially in chapters 6 to 8. In the light of all God's provision and God's call, Paul in Romans chapter 12 urges believers to consecrate their lives to God. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In this context, the Apostle Paul is not just merely referring to presenting our physical bodies, but similar to what we saw in Romans chapter 6, he is asking us to present ourselves, to present yourself a living and holy sacrifice, the whole person as a living and holy sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living person. We are to live out our whole lives as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It's a whole person. Living and holy sacrifice involves spiritual service of worship. The transformation and renewing of the mind, verse 2, is a transformation of the inner man, and a major aspect of it is the renewing of the mind. It's a continuing process as we consecrate ourselves to God, how we are to exercise ourselves in spiritual worship of God and to be transformed instead of being conformed to this world. And as we do so, Paul says, so that, there's a direction, you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And the heart of the will of God is his call, his intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the way in which we can properly enter into what God intends for us, his perfect will for us, is to present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. The consecration of our lives, the transformation of our being, the renewal of our mind, and the experience of the perfect good will of God can take place in specific moments and also taken as a whole. And that is the way we must respond to God's call and to enter into what he intends for us. So from time to time, I mentioned just now about helpfulness in praying over, evaluating our whole being and all our faculties in the light of God and truth. I now want to continue along these lines. From time to time, it's helpful for us to spend some time before the Lord and ask him to shine the light of truth so that we may see clearly our true state. How have we been living? Is it consistent with what he has revealed to us in the scriptures? Have we been living out our lives on the basis of God and truth? Our relationship with God, his call, his revelation in the scriptures. It's helpful to evaluate, pray over our faculties in the light of God and the truth he has revealed in the scriptures. I just mentioned some aspects. These are definitely not exhaustive. You can add on for yourself, but I see it's very helpful from time to time to pray over, to evaluate our hearts, our lives before the Lord in this way. So beginning with our heart, it's helpful to pray over, to evaluate. Are our hearts properly consecrated to God? Are there impurities in our heart? Has God been trying to reveal to us impurities that we did not know exist? Be alert to that. We may have been sincere in the way we consecrate our lives to God, but there may be areas in our hearts that we may not be conscious of, which the Lord will seek to bring to our attention so that we can move to a higher level. And this will be a continuing process. But we must not harden our hearts, nor be unduly perturbed if we should recognize that there are deficiencies, impurities in our hearts, that God may have the freedom to show us. And as we do so, we ask the Lord to purify our hearts and to purge away all impurities. We seek to understand what are the corrective measures that we need to take. We try to sift out what is not good, what is not pleasing to God, but not just seeking to deal with the negative. It is also very helpful for us from time to time to affirm afresh our consecration to the Lord, our commitment to Him and to the truth that He has revealed. From time to time, to affirm afresh our direction, our goal, to evaluate before the Lord what has been the desires, the longings of our heart. Is it consistent with the posture of God and truth? Is it in line with what is in the heart of God, the kingdom of God, and what He has revealed? Has there been undivided devotion to God? Is there anything that has been distracting us? Are there worries and anxieties? We need to come before the Lord in sincerity and with a longing that God has the freedom to indicate, to show to us, so that we can do something about aspects that are not right before Him. And not only that, to also ask the Lord to help us to understand whether there are positive areas that we need to pay more attention to, that we have been neglecting, and the areas that we've been working at, that the Lord may continue to enable us to work at them well. Our mind, likewise, it is helpful to pray over, to evaluate. How have we been using our minds? What have we been concentrating on? Are there negative, inappropriate, distracting thoughts? If there are, it's important to reject them and to reject their influences over our lives. In this regard, it's helpful to bear in mind that there's often a spiritual dimension to it, so that together with rejecting the negative thoughts, we should also reject the influences of the evil one. And as we take our stand in this way, it will hinder the evil one from continuing to work in our minds. And the attack by the evil one on our minds can have far-reaching implications for us, because it can affect our being and also how we live. It can also deter us, discourage us from living out what God desires of us. So it's important to pay attention to our thought life, and from time to time to evaluate whether there have been some aspects where the evil one has been seeking to work in our minds that we need to do something about it. That is, to reject these negative thoughts or distracting thoughts, and also to reject the forces of darkness at work seeking to influence us in a negative direction. Evaluate what have we been dwelling upon. Is it so that our primary concentration and consciousness at all times has been God and the truth that He has revealed? Is it in line with what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things," or "let your mind dwell on these things." Have we been dwelling on all these positive, helpful things? Have we been seeking to understand the truth and to absorb and apply the truth. We see in the next verse, Paul talks about learning and practicing these things. Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So the things you have learned, received, and heard and seen in me follows off from verse 8. You'll be consistent with what is in verse 8, what is positive. So not only our minds dwelling on these things, but also to work out, to practice these things. It's helpful to see these verses also related to the preceding verses, verses 4 to 7. Verse 4, Paul talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. Verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. That is, not to be anxious about anything. Verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. All these are meant to be our continuing experience, part of the posture of God and truth that we've been talking about. And they are all related. How to rejoice in God always, not to be anxious about anything, and to continually experience the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Together with that, we need to pay attention to, set our minds upon, dwell upon what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, and so on. To learn and to practice these things, including what we can learn and benefit from others who are walking well with the Lord. But ultimate concentration is on God and on the truth. Others, only to the degree they can help us grow in our knowledge of God and our knowledge and understanding of the truth and how to work them out. It's helpful from time to time to reflect whether we are growing in our knowledge of the Lord and of the truth. There's so much that God desires to help us to know about Himself and also the truth in the Scriptures. Are we growing? And even as we spend time in this way to evaluate before the Lord, it's also a good time to ask the Lord to continue to have the freedom to renew our mind. The renewal of the mind and what God desires of our mind goes beyond just understanding of truth. That the truth that He reveals, that we have come to appreciate, will renew our minds, which includes a response of the heart. The renewal of the mind means our minds have responded, and together with that, our being has responded in the direction of the truth. There's an aligning of our hearts and minds with the truth. In that way, the mind renews. It becomes a part of us. The positive has become a part of our being. That is the renewal of the mind. That's why transformed by the renewal of our minds, not just the understanding. Helpful to pray, ask the Lord that He may have the freedom to renew our minds, to bring about the transformation, and also that He may have the freedom to help us to know how to cooperate with Him so that our mind can be truly renewed. It is possible to hear much, affirm, agree, but the mind is not renewed. Ask the Lord to help us to understand how we can grow in our appreciation of Him and of the truth, how to understand the Scriptures more deeply, more wholesomely, as well as to absorb and apply the truth. Our spirit. Helpful to pray over our spirit and to evaluate whether we have a healthy spirit, the right spirit in our working in daily life. First, the realities within, and then as we work out in daily lives. And to ask the Lord to renew us in the right spirit. Let us not assume that our spirit is always right. It's important to have a healthy spirit. The right spirit, a healthy spirit, will have a direct bearing on our character our values, and whether we are humble, patient, kind, and loving, or whether or we are proud, impatient, unkind, unselfish, inconsiderate, impulsive, a rash spirit. Bear in mind that for those of us who love the Lord, we are not talking about whether we are humble, patient, or whether we are impatient, unkind, and that's all. It's a question of degree. All of us should have a certain degree of humility, kindness, love in our hearts, but what is the degree of it? What kind of spirit? How healthy? And as we evaluate our lives before the Lord in this way, may the Spirit of God have the freedom to indicate to us traces of impatience, pride, impulsiveness, selfishness, inconsiderateness, and so on. That we can then do something about it. Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 talks about being cleansed from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and it is helpful that we ask the Lord to cleanse us from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and also to strengthen our spirit. But we can meaningfully ask God to do this only when our hearts are right, that we long to be washed, to be cleansed, that we have a contrite, repentant heart and spirit. Is our spirit healthy and strong? With passing time, have we been growing in spiritual strength and stamina? These are things that we can prayerfully evaluate, look to the Lord to help us to understand. We must grow. It is vital. If we have not been growing in spiritual strength and stamina, something is wrong. Related to this, then, is to evaluate whether we have been learning how to exercise our spirit appropriately. The key word is appropriately. But here, we are concentrating on the importance of learning how to exercise our spirit and to exercise it appropriately. Have we been doing that? I'll elaborate a little on this aspect. On the one hand, it is needful to regulate ourselves so that we are not spiritually overstretched and overstrained and become spiritually drained or involved in things God does not desire of us, or over-involved. Sometimes the Lord does desire us to be involved, but we become over-involved. So it is needful, on the one hand, to regulate so that we do not overstretch ourselves spiritually. If we do that, we can become spiritually drained and also become vulnerable to the pressures of the evil one in a way that we may not be able to cope. If we are over-involved in things that are beyond us, we are not mature enough to be involved in that way, then we can get into spiritual difficulties. This is something that from time to time we have mentioned, but it's important now to also consider carefully the other side. On the other hand, on the one hand, needful to regulate. On the other hand, it is also very important for us to recognize that if we fail to exercise ourselves adequately, as is appropriate for us, and we will then fail to fulfill our part as God desires of us, including our part in the expression of body life, something that we are more impressed with during the church camp, and we would have failed to contribute our part to the realization of the potential of the outworking in church life and also our own life. The appropriate exercise of our spirit is very important for our own development and also the health and strength and the proper expression and realization of the potential of body life that God desires of us. With proper exercise of our spirit grows stronger. Just as in the physical realm, appropriate exercise, we grow stronger physically. But the appropriate exercise, proper exercise of our spirit is also very important for our spirit to grow stronger. Not only that, as we exercise our spirit in the way God desires of us, we will also learn many things, which we may fail to learn if we don't exercise ourselves properly. Yes, be mindful of the wiles of the evil one, his attacks. Paul wants us not to be ignorant of the wiles of the evil one. But it's also important for us not to be unduly fearful of spiritual pressures and spiritual attacks as we serve God and fulfill the part God desires of us, including what he desires of us in the expression of body life. Spiritual pressures and attacks in the midst of faithful walk with God and the proper exercise of our spirit is helpful for our total development. It's an integral part of our development. So do not be unduly disturbed when we experience spiritual pressures and attacks. It depends on whether we are taking on too much and the spiritual pressure and attacks comes in a form that we are not able to cope. It affects our walk with God negatively. God wants us to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. This is an essential aspect of our walk with God, our growth in Him, our service for Him. And it is needful for us to learn about the wiles of the evil one, as well as how to counter and overcome them on the basis of truth and the power of the risen Christ. And this doesn't just come about at the theoretical mental level. This takes place in the reality of our walk with God, service, and the realities of spiritual attacks and pressures. So let us not go to the extreme, thinking that we need to avoid spiritual warfare if we are responding well to God's call. We are fulfilling the part God desires of us. We will encounter spiritual pressures and attacks, and spiritual warfare is part of what God wants us to go through. It's helpful for our development as well as preparing us, equipping us for greater effectiveness. Spiritual warfare and going through it well together with the Lord will deepen our appreciation and absorption of truth, our relationship with God and reliance on God in the midst of spiritual warfare, a greater sense of our need of God, reliance on God, and learning how to fight, which cannot be on our own, but is in the power of risen Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, looking to God to guide us, to grant us wisdom, how to understand what is going on, how to counter the attacks of the evil one. It's a very rich experience of learning from the Lord and going through together with God. So spiritual warfare is intended by God to help us to learn how to be strong in the Lord. And this being strong in the Lord is relevant to our total development. All this Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. Our need to be strong in the Lord, and then he elaborates for us spiritual warfare. So Paul tells us our struggle is not against flesh and blood. If we really want to contribute to God's kingdom, we want to grow well, we want to participate in God's kingdom, then at the heart of it, our struggle is in the spiritual realm against the forces of darkness. So it's essential we learn how to fight the good fight of faith. And in the process, we learn, we grow well, and we contribute effectively to the advancement of God's kingdom, even in the midst of spiritual warfare. In fact, true advancement of God's kingdom at the heart of it will involve spiritual warfare and overcoming the forces of darkness, and will be at the expense of the kingdom of darkness. So let us recognize that overexerting ourselves spiritually is not good for us, but if we fail to exercise ourselves properly, then we cannot grow properly. There are many things we will miss out in God's plan and purposes for our lives if we keep holding back unduly. And this is something that we need to evaluate, to look to the Lord, to understand how He wants us to go about in our lives. If we do that, we will not be able to develop. That is, if we hold back unduly, we will not be able to develop our spirit properly in a wholesome way. There are many things that God desires to teach us in the spiritual realm, which we can learn in the course of appropriate exercise of our spells spiritually and the exercise of our spirit. We know that ultimately the kingdom of God is in the spiritual realm. So the development, the exercise of our spirit, an increasing appreciation of the realities in the spiritual realm, what is taking place in the spiritual realm and how to respond is essential if you want to respond well to God's call. So in the midst of all this, it's important for us to learn and to develop a discerning spirit, to ask the Lord to help us how to develop this discerning spirit, so that more and more we are able to discern what is of God and what is not, what is of the evil one, and knowledge of the truth, who God is, His ways, what He has revealed in the scriptures will help us to be discerning. But we also need, in the realities of spiritual warfare, to learn these things, to be able more and more to discern what is appropriate and what is the correct direction, course of action that God desires of us, and what would be the wrong direction. Sometimes there's more than one course of action. This often confronts us. Which is the right one? Which is the wrong one? Which is the path that God desires of us? Which is the path that the evil one wants us to take? And discerning of what is happening in a situation. What's the meaning of what is taking place? To be able to discern beyond the outward appearance of things as to what is the reality that is taking place. A healthy spirit, a discerning spirit, will help us to learn to discern, which includes what God is seeking to do in that situation, as well as what evil one is doing, and also human beings. What's the meaning that's taking place in the hearts and spirit of people in a particular situation? But in all this, it's important for us not to quickly jump to conclusions, but it is important for us to look to the Lord to help us to grow in our appreciation, understanding of what is taking place in the spiritual realm, and the true meaning in the spirit and hearts and minds of people, so that we'll be able to respond well, effectively, this includes also in our concern for others, our desire to help them, whether we are able to discern, to recognize the issues in the heart. What is it that is really disturbing the person? What is it that is truly critical to resolve? Then the person can go on well. What are the issues involved? And even a person who wants to be helped may sometimes not be very clear himself or herself what is really going on. And we need to know how to help the person to become clearer, and also for ourselves to be clearer. Our will. Is our will growing stronger in the direction of God and truth? Becoming more and more aligned with God and truth, so that we do not easily weaken, compromise, or easily go off course. Yes, the will can become increasingly strong as we begin more and more to exercise ourselves in the way God desires of us, in the direction of truth and our commitment to Him. The will grows stronger. It can also weaken in the opposite direction, and this is quite evident. Various in our observation of people as well as our own lives, things that we know are wrong and yet we indulge in it, we find that it becomes easier and easier to succumb to that area of wrongdoing. Likewise, the things that are right, it may be difficult, but as we exercise ourselves to be faithful to God, then we find it increasingly we have the strength to do it, and it becomes less and less difficult. It's helpful to ask ourselves, with passing time, is there increasing steadiness in exercising our will in a manner consistent with the posture of God and truth? We've come to appreciate, we've aligned our hearts with the posture of God and truth, but it needs to be worked out. As I mentioned, if God has the freedom to speak to us and we face the issues honestly, we will recognize that from time to time there are failures, deficiencies. But with passing time, are we becoming more and more consistent in the way we approach and live out our lives in the way God desires of us? The will is closely related to the mind and the spirit. A strong, healthy will goes together with a strong and healthy spirit. Being willful is not good. I mention this because sometimes people think the will is strong, is good, but they are actually thinking about or seeing manifestation of a willful person, expressions of a willful person. A strong, healthy will is one that is aligned and exercised in the direction of God's call, consistent with the posture of God and truth. But if we are willful, it can become more and more negative with passing time. It's a degeneration in the opposite direction of what is positive. When our spirit and mind is healthy, then they will enable us to exercise our will in the right direction. The mind understands, the spirit is healthy, and this helps us to exercise our will in the right direction. However, we must still exercise our will and choose what is right. Our mind may be able to recognize the truth, and our spirit may be healthy, but it doesn't mean that automatically we will choose what is right. Even a person with a healthy mind, with a healthy spirit, it is still possible to choose wrongly. It is always feasible to fail. So we must still exercise our will and choose what is right. But a sound mind, a healthy mind, and a healthy spirit will enable us to exercise our will in the right direction. And as we exercise our will to choose what is right in the different situations we go through, then it will further help us to develop the healthy mind and spirit. When we choose what is displeasing to God, our minds will be affected, the health of the mind. Likewise, the health of the spirit. But if we continue to choose what is right, the renewal of the mind will continue to make progress, and our spirit will become stronger and also more healthy, and this will then enable us to more effectively choose what is right with new situations we encounter. Our emotions. It is also helpful to evaluate whether our emotions are in line with the truth and the Lord's desire. Emotions which are contrary to the posture of God and truth We must not feed them or live by them. We know that often we can experience emotions that will tend to pull us away from being faithful to God. We must not feed such emotions nor live by them. But do not, in the process, obliterate all emotions. We must learn to distinguish between proper emotions and inappropriate emotions. And inappropriate emotions can sometimes come about even in the area of emotions of concern, which may generally be regarded as positive. And yes, being concerned for people is correct. But even emotions of concern can become inappropriate. For example, concern for people can become inappropriate if it becomes overwhelming, so that we are no longer able to maintain calmness and objectivity. And this is not uncommon, especially in regards to loved ones or children, spouse. We are concerned for them, but our emotions may affect us in such a way that we are no longer able to be objective in regards to how we should respond to the situation. Or when our loved ones or children have problems with other people, are we able to maintain objectivity, or become partial in the way we view, and we can no longer think straight? Or we are so anxious about our children or our loved ones that we are no longer able to think straight, rationally, before God, to become, to recognize what God desires of us and how to look at and respond to the situation appropriately. Yes, we should continue to be concerned for our loved ones, but we should also be concerned for all. But we need to regulate the emotions. We cannot afford to let our emotions run wild, especially during very difficult and stressful situations. It is very important to come before the Lord, to ask the Lord to help us, so that He will enable us to regulate our emotions. But at times it can be quite difficult to regulate or overcome inappropriate emotions directly. We try to control these inappropriate emotions, but we find it very difficult to regulate, to overcome these inappropriate emotions. What then should we do? A helpful way to regulate, to overcome inappropriate emotions, which we find difficult to control directly, is to nurture, or rather, a helpful way to do so and to nurture healthy emotions. How can healthy emotions emerge, and to nurture healthy emotions is to pray over the matter, have a clear understanding of the appropriate response as we look to the Lord. And sometimes the mind and the emotions may not go together, but as we pray to the Lord, we may be able to see, understand. And even though the emotions may not go together with the understanding, we take a clear stand and a strong affirmation of the truth in the matter in fellowship with the Lord, and affirm our faith in God and also His assurances in the scriptures. So for example, we may be very anxious and anxiety overwhelms us. But as we look to the Lord, we become clearer how to understand, how to view the situations, so we know we should not be worried. We have prayed, we have committed the matter to the Lord, but we are still very worried and anxious. Then as we pray over, we take the stand, then we affirm our faith in the Lord. We refer to the truth revealed in the scriptures, and there are various verses in the scriptures that can help us in the direction of freedom from anxiety. But the first part is within the heart, that we need to sort it out and be clear first. Then verses like what we saw just now in Philippians chapter 4 can help us. But there are many relevant verses, truths in the scriptures, that are relevant, that we can pray over and affirm before the Lord. But sometimes inappropriate emotions may not go away immediately, even after we've prayed over it even when after we've affirmed the truth. When we've done what we can, then we need not be unduly perturbed by these emotions. But the stand within our hearts is critical. It's important that we do not respond in the direction of the inappropriate emotions. And we also need not be unduly perturbed that they are still present. If we continue to maintain the proper posture and affirmation of the truth, then the appropriate emotions will subsequently emerge. But so long as we do not allow the inappropriate emotions to dictate our response, our action, our conduct, and how we respond to situations and issues, then not only we need not be unduly perturbed, the quality of our being will grow stronger. Our spirit will become even more healthy. That is, we are able to maintain the right posture in spite of the emotions seeking to pull us, or rather emotions tending to influence us in a negative direction. It's just like going through a difficult context. It's very difficult, and yet you are able to maintain the right posture and the right response. That actually improves the moral meaning of our response. And God's approval and God being pleased with us and God having the freedom to work in us. So inappropriate emotions doesn't mean God cannot work in us or be hindered. At the heart of it is the stand in our heart, in our spirit. That is the critical part. But if we continue to maintain the proper posture, affirmation, the truth, and seek to live by the truth in reliance upon God, then it shouldn't be that the negative emotions generally will not continue on and on and on and dominate our lives. But you may have come across situations where there are people who may at times go through very difficult periods, which may describe as dark periods, where they may even find difficulty sensing the presence of God. Now, in those contexts, of course, it's important for us to seek to first be clear whether there are things not right in our lives that we need to put right, and also to pray against the forces of darkness at work in the situation. But at times, there may be issues beyond our understanding why God allows us to go through times where God may seem far away, when in reality, our posture is right, our attitudes are right, and we are faithfully living out our lives before God. Not absolute, but basically. Then we need not be unduly perturbed. A good example in the scriptures is Job and what he went through. When he was going through that very difficult period when God seemed so far away, he couldn't reach God. God was actually very near and watching over him. It's just that he couldn't sense the presence of God. But God was with him, and it was critical that he continue to maintain his faith in God and to persevere. And if, as he does that, if you were to do that, then the quality of his being, his commitment to God, his faith in God will grow significantly in the midst of that trying situation. So sometimes when we experience, or rather sometimes those who experience inappropriate emotions may try to stifle and to ignore their emotions totally. And this is not good. If we are not careful, then our approach may be detrimental to the development of healthy emotions as well as healthy sensitivity. God does not want us to become like stones, emotionless and without healthy sensitivity, although some people are like that. Not absolute, but they are something like that. And this is not wholesome. It's important for us also to recognize that there are different levels of emotions or feelings or sensations. There are some emotions that are more of a more superficial kind, more at the surface. But there are sensations at a deeper level, and it's helpful to distinguish the two. Because the spirit also has sensations. The spirit can experience love, joy, and peace, and meaning in things. And even when at a superficial level, we may experience all kinds of emotions that may not be appropriate. If we are healthy, our stand is proper, then at a deeper level, it is possible to continue to recognize the reality of joy and peace in the Lord and the love of God. So if a person tries to obliterate all emotions and sensations, he may destroy the healthy aspects within that he actually needs to be nurturing in order to be a wholesome, complete person, to be truly healthy. And there are healthy feelings or sensations within that we need to nurture. They are in line with the truth. For example, there is a meaningful sense, or there can be a meaningful sense of joy and fellowship with God as we worship God. It is healthy. And we can nurture that. But we mustn't live on the basis even of such feelings and emotions, so that we cannot carry on worshipping God, for example, when we do not have such sensations. We must have such sensations, then we can worship God. Or we cannot properly read the scriptures without the sensation of joy and meaning as we read. As we read the scriptures, there can be a refreshing sense of joy and meaning deep within. And there is nothing wrong with that. It's positive, there's meaning. But we cannot live on the basis of those sensations, so that we cannot properly read the scriptures. And some people are affected in that way. When they can sense God's presence, and as they read, there's the joy and meaning, they are very happy and they carry on reading. But when they are not able to sense that joy and meaning as they read the scriptures, they stop reading. And they feel that if they read on, it's pointless or even hypocritical. But that is not so. If we continue to read on the basis of our recognition of what God desires of us, and we continue to read with the right attitude, we continue to look to God and do so in faith, then God will help us to understand the truth in the scriptures, and He will nurture us spiritually, whether we feel it or we do not. And likewise, we should not be deterred from continuing in prayer, even if we feel to have a strong sense of God's presence. No, we go on the basis of truth. We go on praying and worshipping God because we know God is there, He hears us. This is the life of faith, in the appropriate expression of the posture of God and truth. We may not always have a pleasant sensation as we worship God, pray, and read the scriptures. Yes, we need to ask God whether there's anything amiss in our lives. But as we check ourselves before God, and we are satisfied that our spirit, our attitudes, our postures are right, then we can rest assured that God will be with us in a meaningful way, and the meaning and the positive implications will follow. So, to conclude on this part of emotions, and for today's message, there is a meaningful place for healthy emotions, but don't live on the basis of emotions. Or even more serious, allow emotions to overwhelm and move us in a negative direction, so that we are unable to maintain the right posture. I have more to cover, but I don't think we can cover them today. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, draw near to the Lord and ask the Lord to search our hearts. that the light of God may shine and we may have a clearer understanding of ourselves, our true state, the meaning of our walk with Him, our commitment to Him, whether there are areas in our lives that we need to put right. As we reflect over our heart, our spirit, our minds, how we've been exercising our will, let us thank the Lord for all that He has done and provided for us through the cross and the death and resurrection of Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your steadfast love toward us. Thank You for all that You have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that You help each one of us and also together as Your people, that we may know how to respond well to Your calling. That You have much freedom to speak to us, to guide us, to teach us, and that Your will may be fulfilled in our lives. We pray that You will help us to know how to take the needful steps and that we may learn to do all things in fellowship with You, to learn to view things with the right perspective and to respond as You desire of us. Thank You now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that You will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.